to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Blown effects, Stacks and Jacks. Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber, back on the board after heading around the country. Which way did you go this way? We'll talk about that in a second. SP Futures trying to make a bounce back up 1850. Dow Futures up 145. NASDAQ up 80. We're giving our best effort to do the bounce here, but that's kind of what we've been doing. We've been going down, and we've been flying back the next day about a third of the way, and then turn around and go right back down again. We'll see if this rally holds or gets bigger or begins to approximate the sell-off of yesterday. We had Microsoft earnings last night. We're good. So that's helping some. Definitely the trend has been down, and been taking kind of no prisoners really anywhere. An awful lot of the S&P 500 stocks are down 20% from their highs, which is not so hot. But still, we talked about 600 points down yesterday, and we're talking about 150 up. That doesn't exactly, 160 up, but still, it's not exactly a bounce all the way yet, but we could get there. Lou, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
What's a good word, buddy?
Let's see. The good word is fake bombs.
I was going to say.
That's actually a phrase.
Yeah, I was waiting this morning because I didn't get a call from any of my, shall we say, conservative friends regarding how this was really a liberal plot. But I'm sure I'll hear something.
No, I don't think it's a liberal plot. I tweeted out yesterday that I first heard about it, that I thought this was very like, I said, does anybody think this is a Russian, Chinese, or Iranian move? Because I think that's much more likely. I mean, we may find it's a Trumpkin. I don't know why, they would be going after these people as opposed to, some other folks. This strikes me as somebody that, my immediate reaction to it was, if I was interested in Russian disinformation, which is what they refer to these kind of campaigns as, I would do something like this. It's perfect. The only difference, and that makes me think it might be some kind of deranged guy like that shooter in Arizona, is the fact that these things apparently wouldn't work. They weren't put together. They were simply designed to cause, hysteria rather than actually blow up.
Excuse my ignorance, but could I go out and buy black powder? Is that the same as gunpowder?
Yes.
So why sometimes they call it gunpowder and sometimes they call it black powder? Is there any difference at all?
I don't think so. Black powder is available at gun stores and other places in small amounts for muzzle loading enthusiasts and things like that. So you can get the stuff commercially in small amounts.
If you made, I know a lot of guys make their own bullets and they save the casings and you reuse them and stuff. Is that what you'd use for that black powder or something else?
I don't know what this guy used, but yeah, that's what you'd use it for. I mean, muzzle loaders are actually, you can either pour the black powder directly into the barrel of the gun and then you ram the projectile down, or more frequently it's a paper, it's contained in a paper kind of cartridge that you shove into the barrel of the rifle and push down with the ramrod and then put the round in on top of it. So it's a slower burning, smoky kind of, you may be able to buy smokeless black powder now, but the muzzle loading enthusiasts that are black powder enthusiasts that I know use the paper cartridges. You can buy it for that purpose. I mean, there may be other commercial purposes for it, but that's the one I always think of.
I'll give you a scary one. You know what they used to use it for was blowing tunnels. and in blowing tree stumps.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, commercial dynamite, things like that. I mean,
I'm talking about before dynamite was invented. If you talk about the Western Great Western Railroad, you know, the one that connected, you know, the West to here. They went west from here and east from Sacramento. The Asian dudes that were, I don't know how many of those guys must have died along the way, that dug the, what is it, their 20 tunnels in the Sierra Nevadas or some massive amount. They blew those with black powder.
Right. If you go to the mining museums here in Colorado, I mean, that's what they did. They would drill a hole into a rock face, and then pack it with black powder, and then set it off.
Nowhere near as good as dynamite, but they also decided that in the forests that they couldn't have trees falling on the tracks all the time. So they wanted to clear the trees about, you know, 100 yards each side of the tracks. So they wanted to blow out the stumps. What do they call those little barrels you see in the old Western movies? The gun stores, they look like a little beer keg, but they're powder. It took like 20 or 30 of those to blow one stump.
Yeah, I mean, it's not especially effective for doing that kind of detonation. I mean, it'll do the trick, but it's much slower burning than modern gunpowder or modern dynamite.
So our man, I won't say your man, is he doing his best? Had a discussion with a couple of the right wingers last night. I seem to be surrounded by him. And it was, why would anybody blame any of these kinds of things on? Does anybody remember, Matty, remember Henry II of England?
I've never met him.
No. What was his, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest? And he's shocked and appalled that his knights went out and killed Thomas Becket.
Well, I mean, you got the crazy rhetoric on both sides of the aisles. I mean, take your pick. I'm not gonna put this down to anything other than either somebody who's crazy or whatever. But I mean, if you're not gonna pin weren't excited about that guy who goes from Central Illinois out to D.C. to shoot up that softball game 18 months ago.
Oh yeah.
If you didn't think that was the result of Democratic rhetoric, then I don't think you can necessarily pin this on Republican rhetoric. But I'm withholding my vote. I mean, this looks like a classic. If I was the KG or the FSB or you know, Russian or Chinese intel or even the Iranians, this would be a classic move. And the very simple ingredients and the very basic assembly of this thing. I mean, there was no timer, there were no cell phones. You know, all the stuff that allows you to trace these things, a working bomb, the fact that there was just this stuff, I think militates in favor of somebody who, A, knew enough to not put something complicated together because that's more easily traceable, and B, you know, the one-sided nature of it, I mean, makes me think that it could well have been a disinformation operation. But I don't know. I'm withholding judgment.
There's an article here. I'm sure it's, you know, Kevin will tweet and say it's in the fake news. It's somebody that we're not supposed to trust. David Knowles, that or Yahoo News. And I'm gonna admit that Yahoo News is a tad on the blue side. I'll roll with that. The thing from CNN President Jeff Zucker.
That was ridiculous.
Okay. There's a total and complete lack of understanding at the White House about the seriousness of their continued attacks on the media. The president, especially the White House press secretary, should understand that words matter. Thus far, they have shown no comprehension of that. So get a load of this. Even after these things landed, Trump campaign manager Brad Parscale, who the hell is he? Apologize.
I have no idea. I know what the president said.
Well, get a little bit.
Condemned it.
Okay. Well, even you would have written that for him, Lou. 2 hours after the thing happened, Trump campaign manager Brad Parscale apologized for a fundraising email attacking the media that went out 2 hours after the news broke of the suspicious packet. Sent under Lara Trump. Who the hell is Lara Trump? Sent under Lara Trump's name, The email said, it's time for us to give the media another wake-up call for the American people. Does that sound like Henry II or what?
No. No, it sounds like he's telling people to get out and vote.
That's not what it says.
It says give them a wake-up call. That's a metaphor, right? I assume he's not asking people to pick their phones up and call the Democratic media and wake them up.
I'm gonna say that I had the same discussion. I want to talk more about this Kansas thing with Russell from the right yesterday. So, Russell, you're an intelligent man. Lou, you're an intelligent man. And one thing I've learned doing this show is whatever you say, it's not what you say, it's what people hear. And you can say the same thing to 15 different, I don't want to say this, I'll say groups of people. I won't say classes of people. And it means something different to every single person. And if you don't understand that, even at my level on the show, you really can screw things up. I mean,
well,
you should understand that at a federal level.
I understand what you're saying, and I understand why they apologized. They said, "Yeah, this could be taken wrong," but I don't think that's a call to violence.
I'm saying to Lord, I'm saying to you, it's not. To me, it's not. To Russell, it's not. To Kevin, it's not. To some loser, it is. What's a wake up call?
Okay, well. That is exactly the same rhetoric that's been pitched out by Democratic candidates across the country for ages.
I didn't say that everybody.
No, I'm just saying if that's the level of discourse that's taking place right now. And if you want to pin what just happened on that level of discourse, I'm not willing to do that.
I have not. I don't think you've been to a. Again, I'm just reading about an article. I've not been to a Trump rally, but evidently
I watched a lot of one on Fox, I guess it was, that was carrying it, live streaming it the other night, just to see what it looked like.
Okay, but now the according to this article, and since you saw one, you said the new chant, instead of lock her up, because she's gone, well, hopefully she's gone, the new chant is CNN sucks. Okay, so if you tell that group to give a wake-up call to the media, you think there's not 10 people in that audience that do not take you literally, or what you think you mean?
I'm not really... That may happen, but I don't think that makes you responsible for the fact that there are 10 people out of an audience of 100,000 that are crazy.
Well, it made me have to sit through A Man for All Seasons when I was a kid.
Well, I think that's a great play that everybody ought to sit through, because of a number of lines in it. But
that was a play about the murder of Thomas Becket, Matty.
And it's a the Archbishop of Canterbury, and it's a fascinating. There are several fascinating pieces in it, but there are fascinating quotes in it from it. But no, I don't see this. I see this, as I said, as the work of either some loser somewhere or whatever, but I'm withholding judgment. It may be a Trumpkin, but I haven't seen. I don't like the level of political discourse. It's hard for me to get really excited about this with regard to that concern when I watched an actual attempted murder of about 10 congressmen 18 months ago. That was just brushed off by the mainstream press.
Are you talking about the softball field thing?
Yeah, as the work of an individual.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, that's where I'm at right now. I hear a variety of really dumb things coming out of people's mouths across the spectrum, but the focus and level of vitriol that's been aimed at Trump and at the president and his supporters. For the last 2 years, it is, in my opinion, unprecedented.
Well, I'll just say this.
But people aren't getting excited about that. There's been a lot of violence associated with that, and people aren't getting excited about that, so it's hard for me to think that this is anything other than another overreaction predominantly progressive media.
Well, maybe it's a question of where you grew up. I didn't grow up in the real estate business in New York. If I did, and I've met people, I should say this in weird ways. Some of my Jewish friends are from New York, and they will say things to each other during a deal that I just I just like, I can't believe you said that to somebody, because I would remember that for the rest of my life. And there'd be no coming back. And that, maybe that's the Irish in me, the Italian, I don't know. But that when this guy was running and he was insulting all these people in the campaign, I said, you know, there's going to be people in his mind the next day, it's all bygones be bygones. You insult somebody's father and a week later you make a deal with them, everything's okay. That's not the population I know, Lou. Those, if you say something like that, people remember it forever. And I'm one of those people. You can't go around insulting people and telling people this person shouldn't be there, or these people would be better off with. I mean, you can't make any of these even stupid little slurs in that spot and not expect somebody to take you literally. I mean, just because you wouldn't do it, or Russell wouldn't do it, or Kevin wouldn't do it, you have to understand the masses. And I get that.
My point is that the concern that's being expressed about the president's remarks is not the same as is completely different than the concern expressed about exactly the same kind of remarks coming from the other side.
Well, Lou, I will tell you this. I have had four of my best conservative friends this week. I either met them for an adult beverage or got a phone call. In the words, we should shoot all the people walking up from Mexico. These are intelligent people, Lou, with advanced degrees.
I said, I don't know anybody who's saying that.
I'll tell you what, I
would think that would be inappropriate.
And I have heard, and you know, Mr. Frank, our Monday guy, who's, you know, Frank's more of a libertarian. I don't know if the liberals want him or the conservatives want him or nobody wants him, but the fact is, Frank's a good guy. And he confirmed he's heard the N-word used on the South Side more in the last 2 years than we have in the last 40. Everybody feels okay. A lot of people, not everybody, a lot of people feel free to say stuff they have not. And you know, I'm not saying that Trump did it on purpose. I'm not saying whatever. But these are the kinds of things you can't teach your kid to go to the bathroom when you walk up to the school and the president's peeing off the porch. Or the principal. It's just hard to do. I mean, everybody, that's why, you know.
I absolutely agree with you that the president engages in vulgar comments and vulgar statements that I think, I don't think he has a good understanding of how he's a model for the rest of the country. And I think that's a valid and significant criticism of him. And I embrace it. I agree with it.
All right, so what about, explain to me, Lucy, how the hell, you know, it's funny, Lou, I mean, you know that I, and sometimes I know you shake your head at me, how I connect two things.
I'm doing it right now.
I know.
Right.
You connect two things that are so totally unconnectable. I'm going to say that everybody knows, everybody who's ever been a trader on the trading floor, everybody knows that there is entrenched insider trading in the business by the people that are connected. You could watch it on the trading floor with the various specialists in New York. You could watch it. You can see it. The people who seem to get the Fed stuff before other people. There's people that have chronicled it. There's all kinds of stuff. And once in a great while, you'll see them find some guy from India or someplace who happens to be sitting on a board somewhere. They'll convict a guy from Hong Kong, or they'll convict two schmucks that are in the factory in Wisconsin. You know, that read Business Week the night before or some crap. It's alleged example. It's something, I don't know if any countries do that, but America does that. This thing with Kansas, Lou, you and I can tell you stories from people that are long dead about how crooked NCAA football, basketball has been for 100 years, and now all of a sudden we're going to put in jail three people from Adidas
I think that case is a travesty. And I went back through and dug into it a little bit because I thought we might be talking about it today. I think that case is a travesty, and I am really hoping that when the Court of Appeals gets a hold of it, they kick it, because I think this is along the same lines as Robert Mueller's theory that was incredibly announced in court late last week, with respect to exactly what they are charging some of these individuals with in terms of federal crimes. And they are charging, Mueller is charging people, their theory of liability and criminal liability is that if you do something, anything, that might conceivably make a federal agency have to work a little bit harder to do its job, that's a violation of this federal statute.
I think they should do their job. They should maybe just do something anyway. They don't do
well. It's it,
what does our lead-in say? Take my cousin. He sits on a sofa, don't do shit.
Yes. well, I mean, theoretically, you know, you're assuming a false identity on social media, or assuming an identity that is designed to, you know, not show who you are, designed to show who you are, but you're somebody else, or that you're not the person you say you are. That's a violation of federal law. And because you do it on a social media platform, you're instantly engaged in wire fraud.
Yeah. It's
unbelievable. The theory on this case in Kansas is just as bizarre. It is that these guys, by setting up monetary payments to these athletes, were defrauding the colleges who were trying to get these guys to come in and
Hold on for a second. I'll give you the quote. Matty, you've been out of commission for 3 days working hard, not sick. You will be stunned by this. The defendants not only deceived universities into issuing scholarships under false pretenses, they deprived the universities of their economic rights and tarnished an ideal which makes college sports a beloved tradition. Who the hell wrote that, Lou? I want to sell that guy a bridge. Who the hell wrote that?
Well, I mean, it doesn't make sense, because the universities, and again, I don't know what how the defense worked on this. I don't know what they argued fairly strenuously that this wasn't really a crime. But I don't know how you argue that the universities were, quote, defrauded, unquote, by people undertaking to give money to kids to go to the university. The theory is that somehow renders them ineligible to play under NC2A rules, but that's a private organization. That's not a statutory requirement. And the schools, of course, were aware of this. So how you establish a fraud under these circumstances, I mean, I have real concerns.
The whole
point of the exercise was not to charge them with fraud. It was to charge them with wire fraud.
That's how all the convictions were, was wire fraud. Well, let's do something for our listeners here, since you and I, you know, read about this stuff, and we, I guess, sometimes make the mistake of starting in the middle. The story goes, and correct me here, that Adidas and some of these shoe companies have been given money that everybody knows, I think most of our listeners knows, have been given massive sponsorships to some of the universities for a while now. I mean, Nike was big for a while.
They're wearing their shoes.
Adidas is a late comer. The Irish got, following Northwestern, the Irish got how many billion dollars from Under Armour? So all the stuff in the bookstore now is, not all of it, but
they realize that having these kids in their gear is every bit as effective in selling it as having professional athletes.
Well, you also get
which says an interesting thing about the college athletes.
Well, you also get the one-to-one. I'll use the one I'm familiar with. Blackhawks are the same way. Actually, NHL, I believe, has a rule, but the Irish basically have blue jerseys. They have the white jerseys, and once in a while through the years, they come out with the green jerseys to change things up. Well, usually, as part of this plan, is one game per year, there's another jersey involved. So if you go into the bookstore and you already got the other three, you're tempted to buy the special one for that year. It's usually a throwback jersey or something and something. I'm sure that's how the bear orange jersey gets. Anyway, so for anybody not to think that Adidas gives, Slippery Rock $90 bazillion and not to care what level of kid gets there, I got news for you. I pity the fool. It's that stupid. So here, of course, some guys give these kids some money, and now they're saying that they're defrauding the school. They're the ones that gave Kansas all this money. I mean, how can they be defrauding them? It's not like Kansas is giving them the check back, Lou. I mean, do we have people that we pay to actually write this paragraph? I want them fired.
Yes, we do. That's a quote from the criminal complaint. And yes. So what they're doing by writing that gibberish is they are attempting to establish a basis, what it's called the underlying offense. So if you're gonna be convicted of federal wire fraud, they first have to establish a fraud. They don't.
Well, you thought they did.
You of the fraud.
You thought they did.
They just have. Pardon me.
You thought they did.
Well, yeah, that's right. So they don't have to. They don't have to actually convict you of it. But the underlying, you know, the underlying offense. If you engage in transmission across this thing with the intent to commit a fraud, then you're guilty under federal law. So they have to establish the fraud. So again, this is you know, creative prosecution, prosecutorial discretion. How are we going to say these guys fraudulently or engaged in a fraud? Well, who's the victim? Are the colleges the victim?
Well, they
the
seem to think they are.
The kids are getting the money.
They seem to think they are. The colleges, which is really a stretch.
Oh no, they argued and got the jury to believe that the colleges were the victims.
God,
because these kids were going to be rendered ineligible by virtue of these payments.
I'm going to say, Lou, before our time, I'm going to say Wilt Chamberlain got money to go to Kansas. Kansas has been giving people money since long before I was hatched.
Chief, I mentioned this on the show last week. If you go back and look at the records of, Yale and Harvard and Notre Dame and other schools that were playing football in the 1880s and 1890s, you will find all kinds of allegations about professional players.
Well,
coming
was a big
on,
congressional
about
deal.
Guys,
let's talk
guys
it after the break.
College well, for 3 months.
Yeah, well, didn't they have a huge congressional investigation? SP futures up 21, Dow up 182, Nasdaq up 87. Good news this morning, trying to make back some of yesterday's carnage. I'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments.
You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, North Bay Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hollings, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Comfortably back there. Jay-Z did a great job, Manny, but still not the same. You know, we have Mr.
Michaels
as well. S&P Futures still up 21. Dow Futures up 182. NASDAQ up 87. We're trying to make the comeback here. Boy, I got some stuff here about Will Chamberlain when we come back. Pretty interesting. DAX up 54.5%. FTSE up 11.2%. CAC around up 72.5%. CAC around leading the pack as it has been recently. Up and down more than the other two for some reason. Nikkei down 822. Coming off our 600-point drop yesterday, 21,268. Ouch. The government owns 35% of the stocks. They're getting their ass kicked, basically. Shanghai up 50 cents. We'll call that flat. Hang Seng down 255. That's a whole 1%. We've got oil finally up 20 cents, 67.02. It's been getting hammered. Brent down up 40 cents, 76.57. That spread is now 950. Natural gas, 3.19, back up 2 cents. RBOB up a half a penny, 1.82. Gold is rallying a little bit this morning, up $4, 470, 1235. Silver up 8 cents, 1476. Eddie, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. A couple of issues already here on a Thursday morning. Tri-State northbound, just before Crawford Avenue, we have a crash causing a lot of congestion on the south side, so keep that in mind on I-294. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking good, though. Traffic building on the Stevenson and Eisenhower, but no accidents to report. Kennedy and Edens look good, but further west, I-90 eastbound just before Roselle Road, there was a crash causing delays in the northwestern suburbs. So keep that in mind as well. And then one other issue on the south side off the expressways. We had an earlier fatal accident earlier this morning. Stony Island Avenue between 185th and Ridge Road is closed due to that fatal accident investigation. So that happened at about 1:20 this morning, and that still remains closed as they conduct that investigation. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds, cold, about 5 to 10 degrees below normal. We'll reach a high of just 53. Right now it's partly cloudy and 43 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, beautiful day. Sunshine, high of 87. Right now it's clear and 63. In sports, Bulls earned their first win of the 18-19 campaign. They beat the Hornets at home last night, 112-110. Suns were blown out by the Lakers. LeBron's first win in L.A., 131-113. And the World Series, Red Sox rallied with three runs to come from behind, down 2-1 in the middle of that game. They beat the Dodgers 4-2, and the Red Sox now lead at 2-0 as the series shifts to L.A. Chief.
If you ever want to read something fascinating, I don't know why I've never done this before, read the Wikipedia thing here about Will Chamberlain. Have you ever done this, Lou? It is absolutely off the chart.
I always question Wikipedia entries, but what does it say?
Well, it starts talking about him that he didn't like basketball. He thought it was for sissies. So in high school, he'd already high jumped 6.6, and he did a 22-foot long jump, and he ran track and, you know, half mile and quarter mile, which you wouldn't expect somebody that size to do. But he was an unbelievable athlete. And then finally he said, well, everybody wants everybody to play basketball, so he played basketball. So he went to this place called Overbrook High School. And, of course, he was a star right out of the gate. But evidently, in those days, the NBA could get regional picks. I never heard of those, did you?
Yeah, I actually have, yep.
Well, he worked as a bellhop during the summer. I mean, the kid had a job, imagine that. And he was a bellhop at this hotel. So Red Auerbach spots him there, and he's a sophomore in high school, and he had him play a one-on-one game against the University of Kansas standout national champion, a guy named B.H. Bourne, elected the most outstanding player of the NCAA Finals in 1953. And Chamberlain wants the guy 25-7 when he's a sophomore in high school. 25-10, sorry. And then the other guy, get a load of this. Bourne was so dejected that he gave up a promising NBA career and became a tractor engineer. He goes, if there's high school kids that good, I figured I wasn't going to make it in the pros. So the guy didn't even become a pro. Well, evidently, Auerbach wanted him to go to a New England university so he could draft him as a territorial pick.
Right.
Whatever the hell that was. And so then Chamberlain plays his junior and senior year, and now they're state champions and everything. So he decides he's going to go out of the area. But just as we're talking about, among others, UCLA offered 200 schools wanted him, 200 schools. Among others, UCLA offered Chamberlain the opportunity to become a movie star. The University of Pennsylvania wanted to buy him diamonds. And Chamberlain's Panthers coach from the high school, Moisant, was even offered a coaching position if he could persuade the center. Is that unbelievable?
But that's one of the reasons why the NC2A came into existence and began enforcing this stuff. When was the basketball point shaving thing? That was in the early 60s, right? When this all really, everybody kind of threw their hands up and said, all right, that's enough.
It was before Loyola won in 63, I think. Was it before that or after that? But I mean,
I thought it was before that. I thought it was late 50s, early 60s.
Could very well.
But anyway, the point is that this kind of craziness. Well, all right, so let's just go back and say all the ugly truth. UCLA's John Wooden shamelessly cheated, or his team did, shamelessly cheated with respect to the payoff to these guys.
Oh, yeah.
They had a guy that paid the players directly. And you know, so that great championship run that he had was done with players who were ineligible under any definition of NC2A rules.
And your favorite feisty female, the Tark's wife, what did she say? How come they're always after us when the UCLA guys are wearing fur coats and our guys are wearing letter jackets?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fair comment. Well, the short answer is the reason that they were after UNLV is because UNLV was not a blue blood program. They will not, the NC2A will not hang blue blood programs. And if you want any proof, and it's especially basketball, because basketball provides 75-80% of the NC2A operating revenue. So they are not going to kill the golden geese the geese that lay these golden eggs for them. If you want any proof of that, just look at what happened with North Carolina and the academic eligibility issues, where North Carolina for 18 years ran a phony program in its African American Studies department that was geared specifically aimed at athletes. And I realize if there are any North Carolina fans, they're going to be up in arms over this. But the short answer is that was academic fraud. And
sure
it was aimed at athletes. They steered athletes into that program. And the NC2A said, you know what? That's not our concern because it relates to academics. And we really don't care. The university, you know, they let North Carolina just basically get away with it. And my thought on that was right. They're not really interested in it, because if they shoot North Carolina in the head and they cause North Carolina to forfeit two or three national championships because of something like this, then this is all over. While Lewis University, just down the road from you guys, is penalized instantly with the forfeiture of a national volleyball championship
because they had one ineligible player.
Yeah.
And by the way, Matty, I got a travel update for everybody in Chicago. The BNSF line is shut down right now.
Yep.
I just got a Twitter notice on it. They've got power lines across the tracks.
You know, those power lines, it's real tough to run a train by power lines if there's all across the track.
Oh, hell. What could go wrong?
Yeah, what a bunch of weenies. Hey, interesting. How is it, though, that, Lou, the people, these guys that are prosecuting this case, how do they not know this? You know how far back this Carolina thing goes? The oldest man ever to play pro football, he's not, I'm just kidding. Julius Peppers is one of the first people in that program. And he's been in the, how old is the guy, 40? This was going on when he was 18.
They started the program in 1992.
Yeah, so he was part of that. Wasn't he one
Peppers
of the...
Peppers is 38.
And he was one of the people named in the original thing,
yeah,
he
was one of the biggest benefactors, apparently.
Sure. He was academically ineligible. And just to show that I'm a fair-minded guy.
He played basketball too,
Duke,
right?
He did.
Duke had its own issue. And the NC2, I mean, now Duke self-reported it, unlike North Carolina. Duke self-reported it with one of their players on the 2010 team that won the national championship. This kid supposedly got jewelry, or some was given a bunch of diamond jewelry and a loan of $100,000, and it came to the attention of the Duke staff when this kid was sued for failing to pay the money, and so Duke self-reported that this thing was going on, and the NC2A said, okay, yeah. They waited until the kid graduated and was in the NBA, and then they tried to interview him. In the meantime, the merchant got paid back the money because the kid now had the money to pay him, and the merchant goes, we don't know anything, and the kid goes, I don't know anything, and the NC2A goes, oh, well, I guess there's nothing we can do. And, you know, the Duke is a blue blood program as well. They are not going to kill those blue
blood
programs.
Why did they, I guess they don't like him, I don't know, maybe it's an anti-Catholic thing, but why did they, the kid from Notre Dame, like, how many years ago, who did something, they find out 3 years later, the university, the lady who was doing his tests,
The tutor
who was not an employee of the university. She was a volunteer manager or something. She never got cashed a paycheck, I don't believe. She was a senior. Let's say she liked the athletic young black guys. So this guy was allegedly her boyfriend, and she was helping him out with his papers. And they decided years later, and then she's the one who blew it up, because when she graduated, the kid didn't want her as a girlfriend anymore because she wasn't doing the papers. Duh. And
seen that coming?
Yeah, who could have saw that coming? And so she ends up blowing the whistle on it, and the NCAA says, well, even though she was an unpaid manager, somehow it was Kelly's job to figure out what the kid was doing, you know, between midnight and 6 in the morning. And they ended up, what year did they have to forfeit all their games, Matty? Was it like 2015 or something? I mean, in retrospect, instead of being 11-1, they were 0-11 or something. If you look at the record,
well, they made Calipari forfeit his banners for Memphis, right? Because
and
of,
UMass
because of fraud, academic fraud with Derrick Rose, or alleged fraud with Derrick Rose.
But yep. there's a huge difference between the head coach and some girl manager doing some guy.
All I'm going to say is the NC2A became remarkably quiet about academic fraud when this North Carolina thing surfaced.
Yep.
Because it was going to hurt. They were going to have to forfeit two or three championships. And the NC2A said, no, we can't do that.
I always thought the teams that were...
That's one of the most... If you ever had any doubts about the total... incompetence or corruption of the NC2A, that case, and Kevin and I have talked about this, that case doesn't.
But the weird part is, Kevin, most people, I would have, when I say most people.
Having said that, I don't think that's a federal criminal.
No, it is.
I don't think the FBI ought to be investigating.
No, that's the weird part is you see stuff happen, Lou. Whenever I see... And I'll say it again. When I see friends of mine in various businesses and in banks, and matter of fact, the bank I bank with here in Chicago, Lakeside, they had some attempted hack where somebody, the idea that our law enforcement people, how many hours do you think we spent, the FBI spent on this Kansas case. And in my mind, they should have been doing something totally different. It's not just...
Well, you heard me say this last week. I think this case is the result of them stumbling into this stuff because of wiretaps on something else.
Right.
And saying, hey, we can get a lot of publicity on this.
Right. But, I mean, if you look at... There's people who have incredible views, and I've said this before, on making examples out of people. I, for one, never think making example out of people helps because the people are the real no-goodniks. There's kind of two kinds of people in the world, Lou. You drive to Dan Ryan. Once in a while, once in a great while, you'll see a squad car pulling somebody over. And I'm going to say very, very seldom. Some people will say they're out today and will slow down. The rest of the people say he's already got a guy I can speed up. I mean, this example part only works with half the population, maybe the Catholic population or whatever. But there are other people. I mean, I look at the Blagojevich thing and I see the basically the hundreds of thousands of hours of FBI time to put this guy in jail and all the other stuff that they could have been doing instead of that. And I think it's a travesty if you look at it
well,
from that direction.
I'm willing to cut some slack for targeting public officials who are engaged in bona fide corrupt activities. I felt the same way about Marion Barry when they got him smoking crack with that prostitute in Virginia. I mean, my thought was, that guy's a public official. If you've got this kind of corrupt conduct on the part of a public official, I'm okay with police agencies going after that kind of thing. This thing with the colleges is ridiculous.
I agree, but I'm saying, in Illinois, and again, we'll get off this thing, Illinois, it's been a single-minded obsession of everybody who's been and I'm sure it is in Southern District of New York, is a single-minded obsession with taking down a high figure to the point where I think all the rest of the stuff, and it started with Jim Thompson, taking down Otto Kerner. I gotta put a big fish in jail because I have political aspirations, and I wanted, now he went on to have huge political aspirations, became governor for a while. Now the other guy, a Webb after him, just became the world's richest attorney. So these guys have aspirations, and they essentially, what I'm saying, Lou, is there's a list of 30 things they're supposed to be doing there. And they unabashedly will take, I'm not gonna do those 25, I'm gonna get my big fish. Well, the rest of us want them doing the 25.
Yes, I think that there's something there. There's something to that. Part of the reason you have a problem in Illinois is because the Illinois Attorney General, who is the daughter of,
right,
of one of the more allegedly corrupt people in the state, absolutely refuses to do this.
Oh, I'm with you on that. But the point being is you know, there's two levels here. It's what, you know, if you look at the policemen right now, okay, and Maddie knows this better than anybody. If you look at, and I'm not saying you want, you know, grandma whacked on the head and her purse being taken. I'm going to say that 90% of all money stolen now is stolen online wire fraud, some kind of wire fraud. And I'm going to say that the Chicago Police Department devotes less than 1% of their activity to that crime. I mean, that's unconscionable. I mean, it shouldn't be 80% because obviously violent crime is more important, but it shouldn't be one or two either. I mean,
well,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I perhaps we look at it from the wrong perspective. The thing that are going to get calls to the aldermen are violent crimes on
right.
the street. The people aren't going to call their aldermen about a bank fraud.
But
they're insurance. There's insurance now for bank fraud. So the financial risk gets spread. The risk of being mugged or held up or having your store mob attacked like the videos I'm seeing from from the Magnificent Mile. Is significantly greater and is going to get a significantly faster response to the local politicians.
I don't disagree,
but that's why the cops are going to respond.
I know, but you don't want to be walking on, not that this has happened, I believe, to Maddie once, you don't want to be walking out of the Tripoli tap and say, I put my credit card in there, my debit card, to get some cash out, and instead of $50, the thing stole $600, you see a squad car goes by and he says, what are you asking me for? Call your bank. Well, you know, that's not the right response, Lou, because we've done this. We've made this move where they have essentially told you this isn't our job anymore. But from my point of view, yeah, it is. You know, who gets to say that? It's like me managing money for people and saying I don't trade anymore. I mean, right?
Yeah, that's the prosecutorial. That's the discretion that is given now to law enforcement and to the attorney, U.S. attorneys and the state's attorneys, in terms of what's going to get prosecuted and what's a crime. It's very much like the great, I think it's Dave Barry, who the comedic writer who wrote about speed limits when it went to 55.
Yeah.
And Dave Barry said, the trouble is Once the speed limit dropped to 55, nobody knew what the speed limit was anymore because they weren't enforcing 55. They were enforcing something else. And whatever it was, that varied from day to day. The only guy who knew what the speed limit was the cop
yeah.
who was doing the enforcement. And that's incredible. I mean, it's hilarious, but if you apply it to things like bank fraud or wire fraud or other types of conduct, it's incredibly dangerous. Because now, whether you're in violation of the law is now subject to the whim or the politics or the bias of whoever the prosecutor or the FBI agent is that, that that's going to do this. I have to imagine what happened was the FBI gets this information on wiretap with respect to these NC2A cases, and they say, God, we got to be able to do something with this. They go to a U.S. attorney, and they say, can you come up with some crime that this might fit? I'm going to tell you,
yeah.
That's how this went down.
Well, who's,
come
who's
up with some crime that we could shoehorn into this?
Well, who was the guy who they caught? It was the guy who they were doing tax ev- they were getting the guy the agent for tax evasion, right? And he said
tax evasion, right? I think that was the first.
And he said basically, if you cut me a deal, I'll tell you about all this other stuff. Wasn't that how it all started?
So they look at it and go, well, there's no real crime here, but maybe we can come up with one. And so that's how this goes down.
But if you look at what you talked about the NCAA, Lou, I thought a minute ago, and of course I lost it, and it came rolling back at me. The NCAA, from what most people, I mean, why you would even think this, is not located in Washington or any place there. It's located in Indianapolis.
Yep.
And if you look at the schools that are sacred, you might think they would be, you know, the schools that can never. I mean, I remember watching games and, you know, the schools that didn't segregate. The schools that are absolutely sacred are Indiana, Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, those kinds of schools. Illinois.
Duke,
Illinois has always been the part one over the fence. So they can't wait to throw stuff at Illinois. I don't know if it's the Indiana-Illinois rivalry. But, I mean, there's schools that have always been the ones that have got investigated and some that didn't. I mean, but you're,
you could throw UCLA in there
yeah.
For basketball again.
Yeah.
And let's make sure we're all clear on this. They are crazy about basketball because they get so much revenue from that NC2A tournament. It is the vast majority of their funding for the year.
They don't get squat for football.
They do not want to touch that.
Football is totally driven by the conferences. The conferences only use the NCAA, so there's somewhat of an independent rules committee. That's all they use them for. They don't give any. I won't say they don't give any money, Lou, but very little.
After this North Carolina debacle, I thought, and Kevin and I again talked about this. We thought if we were playing football, we'd look at this and go, okay, the shackles are off. We're going to set up a 64 team, four conference or four super conference deal. Well, we're going to have a national playoff, a national championship playoff, and we are going to just tell the NC2A goodbye.
Well, you know what? They're very close to that. They're really close.
I think it's going to go there.
Well,
I think it makes perfect sense.
Except that you have that. There's two wrinkles. One is Notre Dame, okay, which is such a huge draw and still wants to be an independent. The other wrinkle is sometimes you'd like to have what Lou's talking about. Clearly, in somebody's mind, your four teams that go to the playoffs are going to be the head of the ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12. Well, there's five conferences, so that's the other wrinkle. There's really three wrinkles.
Well,
one is there's five conferences, not four.
If you come in and say we're going to take 64 teams, and we're going to make four 16 team super conferences. They will play off against each other, eight teams in each division of the super conference. They will play off against each other. That will end up with, that'll give us four champions, and then those four champions will go head to head through a playoff, just like the basketball.
All right, so right now, what I'm saying is there's three wrinkles. One is there's five conferences, not four.
But you go to these guys. I mean, if Bama and Ohio State and Washington and you know a number of these other big powerhouse football schools go to Notre Dame and they say you're going to be you're in or you're out. You know, and if you don't want to be part of this, hey, that's great. We'll see you later.
But
we're going to be generating, you know, billions.
But that's a problem. Because, well, I'm saying they're moving towards it a little bit. The time appears to not be quite right. Plus, in virtually every year, the two best teams are in the same conference, which and that's who people want to see. If they want to see the two best teams play. I mean, as I'm saying, it's a minor wrinkle. Not that they can't, but don't. I mean, we're way closer to what you're talking about than we were 10 years ago.
Agreed, and I think that that's where this goes. But the first move will be to tell the NC2A to pound sand. We're going to set our own system up. That's a legal term.
What percentage?
We're going to set our own system up, and goodbye.
Well, Lou, what percentage?
If you want to be part of it, that's great. All they'd have to do is get the top teams of the SEC, the top teams that pull Clemson out of the ACC, pull Oregon and Washington and UCLA and USC out of the Pac-10, and you know, you could see this thing pull up pretty
well,
quickly.
Sure you could. But how much, even in the old bowl era, Kevin might know the answers, Cotton Bowl game or an Orange Bowl game that made all this money, what percentage of that did the NCAA make? I'm going to say they got the referees hired. I don't think they got squat, did they?
They did not, no. They did not get, well, with the bowl games, they got very little because those were all local.
Right.
And you know, that's a function of locality. There was a licensing, I'm sure, for television and things like that, but that's about it. The big move, the first big move was what, 95 or 96, where yeah. Notre Dame says we're going on our own with our own TV network?
Yeah. All right, Lou, we got a dash, but we'll talk to you next week. Hey, great stuff. Have a nice weekend. SP Futures up 17.50. Dow Futures up 139. Call me back later when you find out what liberals sprinkle those bombs around with you. SP Futures up 80. Oil up 28 cents. Back, we have Mr. Fari Hamzy. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. Fari Hamzy. S&P futures up 20 now. Dow futures up 175. NASDAQ futures up 89. So Fari, I'm kind of happy we're bouncing back after yesterday's carnage. But I'm also
That was the news driven.
Yeah, but also that's a little
with timing. Timing indicators went to oversold on Tuesday, as I was mentioning Matt earlier. Wednesday was news driven. And there's no indicators going to tell you that. It's just sad that our politics have dropped so low that in a panic mode, this is what they're going to do. So hopefully by 2 weeks from now, they'll be punished.
Well,
the sad thing is the investigative arms we have, they're also comments out there that they're not worth it. They don't know what they're doing. They can't be trusted. Just like what they didn't know what to do about the Khashoggi thing. Who do you send over there to be checking all of this if you don't, if you've taken trust from people out of these institutions that are non-political? So I think there's a huge lesson here coming up in 2 weeks, and hopefully what I want is, as a Republican, I want some checks and balances. I don't want this wild, wild west. That's what we get yesterday. By the way, yesterday we took all the 2018 out.
Yep.
Are you guys, traders listening? The Trumpkins, listen to me carefully. Tax cut, bye-bye. And the interest rates are going up, import costs are going up, and oil is up there now too. Oil just pulled back a little bit because I think that Pompeo did. Pompeo went in there and said, listen, your punishment is going to be you're going to pump more oil because my boss is panicking about the economy moving forward. Look at the signal that Transportation Index and Russell is giving. By next year this time, I want to see if they want to talk about the economy anymore.
I think the economy is in bad shape. I mean, it's...
So, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years now, according to Dime Digest. When you see these signals, wait until next year what the problems are going to be. A friend of mine just in New Jersey had a house for sale. The offer came $1 million lower than what he was asking. The only offer he's gotten. He just panicked. He said, no, I'm not selling. Yanked the listing.
You watch some of the...
A million below. I mean, this is New Jersey, okay? I'm not talking about Manhattan. Below the price asking.
I'm going to say that the prices are dropping here pretty close.
Look at Treasury. The 5-year, the 10-year. They're just bursting up. And you're telling me this is crazy Fed? Give me a break.
Well, I don't, it's, I don't know. Sorry, I've been.
You're speechless.
I've been doing this, the idea when you go to school, you feel that people, somehow or another, you feel that people learn the same thing you did. Well, obviously, I don't learn the same thing as a guy who's in medical school or a guy who's an engineer. I mean, you're trying to get me to design a wing of an airplane. I don't know what the thing would look like. It would, I don't think it would fly.
Okay.
But it's
design a new cell phone for you.
But one thing that when you do the economic grad school thing in business, there's certain caveats or certain principles that are just so obvious that right. that you just get to the point where other people just don't get. Now, of course, right. they're really good at what they do, and I couldn't do that either. So it's not like, you know, it's superior. It's just the when I have conversations with people and I say, look, it's not the price of the house. It's not any of that stuff. It's the payment stream. What can somebody afford? Right. And from there, all the other stuff is derived. Okay, if somebody can afford for that level of house, $2,000 a month, and the interest rate's 4, here's what the house is worth. I mean, but there's an identity there that to me is so obvious and so second nature that, I mean, that's for stocks, for anything. And so, but people who are even in the business don't seem to grab it. Like people who have a buy or lease kind of arguments. Well, I don't want to lease, I want to own the thing. If you can lease with the implied interest rate at 7 instead of buying it at 8, you're better off leasing it. Why? I want to own it. One has nothing to do with the other. Well, one, you can buy it at the end of the lease, and one, maybe you want to sell it at the end of the 3 years anyway. It all has to do with the rate and the payment. But
that's right.
But you know,
you talk to your blue in the face. When I got this other car after the accident, Chase offered me 1.02, I think 1.002 lease factor. You can't compete with that.
No.
You gotta grab it. You say, "What do I sign? Draw the papers. I'm coming over to pick up the car now."
Yeah.
You know, they said 3 more days. I said, "I don't care about 3 more days. I'm signing papers today." It's just unbelievable. That was in February. Look where we are now.
Yeah. Well, if
somebody has exploded since then.
If somebody says to you, "You can buy the car and your interest rate is 4%," but oh, by the way, we got this lease deal at 1%. I don't care what you have against leasing. You got to lease it.
Yes. Exactly. You know. Yeah. And also, it's also where you put your excess cash that you didn't put a down payment.
Right.
Okay? Because they're not going to 100% finance you. You don't want to. The payments are too high. Reasonable payments, but there's a down payment. Put that down payment if you're doing something that yields better than, let's say, your implied interest rate times 2, okay, because there's risk involved. Then you're stupid not to lease. So it's absolutely... Why would it make a difference when you're driving that car? There's a person outside or the police, or anybody, or your parents would know you own it or you lease it. Who cares? You have the use of the car.
Well, you have an option to buy it at the end of the lease, which is the same as owning it.
Yes, exactly, yeah. And it all depends on the condition. Do you want to have it or not? Or would you like, with the technology is changing? I don't think that's very smart anyway.
No.
Listen, this car is 1 year different from the last car, okay? So much is changing inside of it technology-wise. I mean, I run Tidal in there. Tidal is a very high fidelity, like Super Pandora, if you think of it that way. You have no idea how this thing sounds. It's amazing. Oh, well, the car before that, same manufacturer, wouldn't be able to handle it.
Sorry, if I was...
Technology is changing. We have to change.
If I went out and got...
Otherwise, it would be like you holding on to these flip phones from 1999.
You know
right?
what? I'm going back to the flip phone. I can't stand this sort of thing. I'm gonna keep it just for like getting messages and stuff, but as a phone, it's useless. I pick the thing up and I go to make a call and all of a sudden I'm setting all kinds of other stuff off. It's like if I decided I wanted to buy a backup truck today, I would scour everything I could find. I'd try and find like a 99-2000 Chevy pick me up in cherry shape without any kind of gadget on it. There is roll up windows. I want no part of this.
And you get a camo jacket with that for free?
I want no part of people knowing where I am.
Throw
all
in
the time.
A camo jacket.
I don't want people tracking me down. I don't want the thing telling me.
That's just for fishing, of course. You know, I understand that.
Yeah, but I mean,
up in militia country in Michigan, you can go fishing, right?
I'm perfectly capable of reading a map. I don't need the other stuff. I'm just saying, you know.
All right, tell me about the market.
How do you
like that Caterpillar, huh?
Yeah, I've been saying for 2 or 3 years now, not that I want any kind of vindication, and who the hell even knows what the market goes down. Whenever you have a revaluation, and I've listened to some of the technical guys, I mean, not just you, but other people, when this all started in August of 82, which is a long friggin' time ago, right? When this all started, and all of a sudden the interest rates started going from 12 to 11 to 10, well, stuff had to move. I mean, everything was totally repriced because the company that was...
Stuff come in.
You know, companies
people like to own stuff.
There were people who were paying 6-7% dividends, and their P ratio was like 8 or 9. Well, sure, when the interest rates are 12, that's where they should be priced. But all of a sudden, when they're 8,
those things got to be a lot higher. And they started moving up. And the technical people at the time, the Joe Granvilles in the world every day, God, this is so overbought. This is no, it had nothing to do with buying and selling. It had to do with just the revaluation. It's like your house. Everybody's interest rates are 6%. All of a sudden, the next day, somebody decrees they're 4. Guess what? Your $400,000 house is now worth 5. I'd sell it if I were you. I mean, right? It's an identity.
Because what we call it, we get repriced.
Yeah, there's a huge difference in the housing community between a 3.75 mortgage and a 5. There's just a huge, and especially if every Tom, Dick, and Harry municipality use the low interest rates as a way to increase their taxes, to now for some people their taxes are more than their mortgage, and all of a sudden you've got this burden plus insurance goes up every year. Now you look at that entire payment per month. There's not much room for the house payment, right? I mean, there's a problem through the industry because everybody's found their way to weasel in there. It's like when people have good times and a state raises the taxes, and all of a sudden people are bad times. I used to make 20 grand, and now for 10 years I made 30. So the place raised all the taxes, and now we're back down to 20. But by the way, what the hell? My property tax is twice what it was. That's what this whole mess, Fari, gets to me unglued, is because it's not just the federal government lowering taxes and everybody applauds them. They forced stuff out to the states that they were doing before. It's always something, some little bit, whether it's Medicaid, whether it's this, whether God knows what it is. And then 5 years later, they go, we're broke. They raise the taxes back up. You're not playing with the same game. It's not apples and oranges, because now the state is higher because of what they gave them. And now the Fed's back up to being higher to where your total nut is bigger. Right? So it's not the same. It's never the same. Because people fill that vacuum. Whenever you got a nickel, somebody rises up and grabs it from you. Right?
No, I understand. Yes, of course.
And every time I see the markets go down like this, all I think about, Fari, is the poor guy who bought Amazon at $1,700 and sold it. Where did he get to? $2,150? And sold it at $2,150. He's got to pay, 20-some percent tax and $450. The guy who bought it at $2,150 and sold it at $17 gets to take $3,000 off for the rest of his friggin' life. He better be young. It's not an even game.
Yes. Well, you know, we went in a small amount because it's a large portfolio, so we're throwing little darts there, about 10, 12 of them out there, and one of them was Amazon, and we had a 1740, I think, in there. So yesterday we took a beating, but the portfolio parameters are set for 5 years. So was it 16? Yeah, it's 1704 now. Came back 40 points overnight.
Yeah,
but we hit 200 the bar last night at 1664. So we got a couple of calls saying, "Hey, what's going on here?" I said, "Well, this is what happens when you have one side panics and stokes fear on the other side, and then you got a bunch of soldiers out there, weekend soldiers, and do stupid things, and we'll catch them. But until then, we're gonna have a little vibration here. Don't panic. What do we do tomorrow?" I said, "I'll probably buy a little bit more." So I'm not. This is, to me, yesterday was capitulation in a large way. Actually, one could argue that at the low on Tuesday, if you watch the low at the low, not at the close of Tuesday, a number of parameters were screaming buys, some more, some less. But this is when the S&P was around 2690. Okay, we closed another up 40 handles out of that yesterday.
Yep.
Okay. Now, and we also moved down in the channel. The high was was negative one sigma. The low exceeded slightly the negative two sigma. Okay. So, if you go back and then look at the indicators, look at SP2, look at McLennan Oscillator, look at the Breath Trust. All of these are on higher value yesterday than they were on the initial low that was put in. Again, I go back to the chart on October 11th. So we have a lower low in price, all the indicators on higher, okay, including a follow through of a yesterday high. Tuesday indicator. So those are even higher. So to me, we need to just stabilize. We got Amazon and Google today. I know they're not necessarily the proper representative of the tech industry, as a matter of fact, there was an article on Barron saying, don't wait for these two to save the tech world for you. But these are two giants. If they move, we stabilize a little bit here. I guess what are we up now? 170 on the futures, yep. 12 on Russell, 92 on NASDAQ, and 21 on the S&Ps on the future side. We should lift off.
Well, Fari, my,
I'm going to put another buy order in today.
Fari,
one yesterday, but was immediately taken out because we were very tight. That is, you come in on the second leg down to W. Your stop has to be extremely tight, and something could happen. But nothing like yesterday. Yesterday was totally news-driven. And immediately we were taken out. So we're going to try it again. Not a problem. Our ammo is very dry. We're going to load up. Because remember, we came down. We made a killing. In 4 days, we took 70 handles out. So we'll load up here, and I think we should be okay.
My gut tells me, and this is my 30-some years for, and by the way, don't try it on this, because even I don't. So it's like,
don't try this, yeah. Don't home alone. Don't do this home alone.
But I say my gut feels that this is somewhat of a revaluation, and if it is, I think, because since the 10-year has been hanging right about the same number here for a few weeks, I think we come back a little bit today. All of a sudden, we start to kind of flatten out here, and I think it's probably enough for this leg. But I wouldn't.
No. We're not done here.
No. Yes, I agree okay, what I'm saying
we're
is,
not done. Here's the problem we have: all the very classical trend indicators are beginning to get either lose their long upward slope. Okay, that means they're getting neutral, or the faster ones are getting more negative slope. That means they're downward. We're not going to see the bottom until these flatten out.
I don't
see the short-term one.
All right, what I'm saying is if we...
The trade-off we put on with you today and tomorrow.
All right, I want to talk about it. My revalue...
Not a long-term, and I use a color spread, so it's a defined risk, okay? We're not done, I don't think, until day after election.
Well, you're...
What happened yesterday was election-related.
The debate we're having, the debate, not really debate, is... I'm going to say for my revaluation argument is that the Fed is going to be somewhat intimidated into doing December, which puts them up.
I agree. I agree with you.
And they're probably going to wait for a while.
And 4 months in a row. Right, but they're gonna, after. Yeah.
So they're going to wait for a while for that, which means yeah. I think we got a couple of percent to go. Maybe yesterday's lows, but I think we trade here for a while. But the thing I'm saying is I don't think it's not going to be like the last 9 years where once it's over, I think we flatten out. I don't think we bounce back up to old highs because why would we? We're not going to revalue up.
No. I agree with you. I think also because the P's have been so high, we just need to get some air out of the balloons here.
Well,
there are too many balloons out there. We need some air out. Uber for $120 billion evaluation. What are they smoking over there at Goldman Sachs?
Well, but what you said is actually, this is the part that I've messed up for 30-some years. To be perfect.
Is this the only thing you messed up?
No. What I'm saying is once you see this...
I'm just asking.
No, I'm saying I everybody listens, knew that I thought we were been too high for a long time, valuation-wise. These interest rates were going to go the other way. And we went, I think, a little too high. So I was, as usual, early as hell. Well, now I think that we've had this revaluation down. I think we've got another 2, 3, 4% to go, maybe. And in my mind... That's probably good enough for 10-year going from 2.25 to 3.25. Okay, but it probably won't work that way. It'll probably go a lot further like it always does. You know what I'm saying? Nobody looks at my rational view of things and acts that way. We always go too high and then we always go too low.
Right, we overshoot.
We always overshoot. It becomes the hardest part.
Here's the issue. The interest rates were quiet until they punched through the 7-year high. Once they start punching it, now it's coming in droves. You see it on the 91-day T-bills. You see it on the, which is implied, it's equivalent, it's not even equivalent bond yield. It's a discount rate. And then you look at the YTMs, you know, yield to maturities, the 5, the 10, and the 30. The 30 hasn't done much yet. It's just come up, but nothing crazy yet. But the 5 and the 10 were quiet until they hit the 7-year highs. Once they hit the 7-year highs. And the reason I cut off at 7, because the economy was so different there, and debt was so different, okay? We have the national debt that is crazy. That's another issue I forgot to bring up. I guess this was a debt, the deficit we had, that added to the national debt, was 700 and what?
Yeah, we're 779 last year. But we've got
750, I don't know. It was 7 change, okay. Highest we have had in, what, in 10 years, they said, or 6 years?
Ever since,
some crazy number. You cannot have, and then we talk about more tax cuts? Are you kidding me? Whoa, what's going on here? A tax cut also when, I mean, how stupid do they think we are? While the house is is out, is not even in session. How are you going to do this? This is just all fake news.
Well, I think that
with the rates going up like this, deficit raising, oil prices up here, housing down. Look at auto. Look autos. What happened with autos? Look at the units shipped. I think we have a picture next year very different than last 2 years. And it's going to be some reality check for everybody.
I would never expect, Fari, and this is the weird part, I think the Democrats got all wrong. I would never expect for somebody who thinks, you know, Trump has finally said one stupid word too many to flee.
There's no such thing.
Well, but I'm saying they're never going
to. I'm saying, to which audience?
I know.
Audience?
Right, what I'm saying
sorry,
is,
Jack, I gotta ask
even
to which audience? The Trumpkins don't even understand it anyway.
Even rational people, they're just because, I feel the same way. I can't stand what the guy says on a daily basis, but that's not going to make me flee into the open arms of Nancy Pelosi and Elizabeth Warren. I mean, I'm not going there. It's not, I mean, one has nothing to do with the other. The Democrats, I think, are so stupid, they think that there is. But what I'm saying is, even to the most ardent Trump supporter who doesn't look at the stuff all day long like you and I do because it's our job, has to realize that, wait a minute, we're going to put the absolute screws on Iran and force them to, in our mind, to produce not one barrel of oil, yet we don't want oil to go up. Well, it's going to go up, you dummy. I mean, there's no way it's not going to. And then all of a sudden we're going to try and push Saudi Arabia, who are supposedly our buddies, without totally forgetting the fact that Saudi Arabia has been taken over by a would-be dictator in the last year, who's probably every bit as bad as the people in Iran. And all of a sudden, he kills this guy, and not only kills him, he's got a guy that comes and dismembers people when he feels like having them over. I mean, and now we're sending them, and we're expecting them to save us because we're sending them. I mean, even the ardent Trump supporters who can't stand the Democrats, which in a lot of ways I understand that part. They have to sit there and go, wait a minute, we got people making decisions here that aren't thinking them through.
Well, and there's no money involved here. The contract that they have talked about doing is about $4 billion. There's no 110.
I thought they were talking 350.
Those are continuations from years past. There was nothing new signed. And I have to realize something, too, with these guys. They cancel, just like Iran, when my dad was involved with it, foreign military sales. These contracts move back and forth. Depending on the political whim of the Shah, or in this case, the king of Saudi Arabia, they get up on the other side of a bet. Well, we don't need 200 Phoenix missiles. Make it 200. Make it 150. Boom. Engineering change, or you know, contract change will come in. Or there's a penalty. Pay it. Boom. Why? Because there are authoritarian. They want to be in charge. They'll pay the penalty to get it their way. So this 110 billion, 450 billion, show me some evidence.
Where'd you
go to school? Bottom of the Penn, University of Penn. Why did your professor said you were the worst student they ever had? Show me some evidence. Stop talking.
Sorry,
my problem with them. And I hope, as a Republican, we'll get some checks and balances in here, because otherwise this country is gone.
A question for you from all my, conservative types and other people that I have adult beverages with. Why I do it with conservative types?
Because adult beverages.
Because I love them. But the rumor was that somehow the king is going to rise up out of his dotage and spank the kid. Is he have any ability to retake control, or is he totally delirious?
No, he's probably with somebody else. In. He's apparently, from what I hear, some stuff I was reading, he's not sometimes very coherent. If he's had a stroke, for example, we wouldn't know. That's probably top secret.
Yeah.
Listen, these guys have surgical rooms in their 747s. Okay? There's always in a hospital near them wherever they are. So I know that on that, because we built the 747s at Northrop. These guys have their health is super secret. That's probably the best kept secret, because you know they become. I mean, if MBS is allowed to stay, become king, he will be the youngest in several in the House of Saud, which goes back what, four generations now.
Well, but it's always been a brother, right?
All of these guys get to be a king like in their 70s and 80s, much like Politburo members in Soviet Union.
But they were all brothers up until this guy, right? He's the first one not in the generation.
One of them was one was a father. Then they were brothers,
right?
Or half brothers. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all. But I happen to know we have a former, hopefully again, contributor to the show. No, we'll go nameless. Whose dad was a transplant surgeon. He's still with us. His dad.
Yes.
Actually went over there and did a transplant on the tarmac, as you say. Didn't even know who he operated on. Didn't even know the guy.
The guy that he replaced, okay, MBS replaced, Nayef, I think it is, he used to fly either F-4s or F-14s with a buddy of mine from Chicago. And he's now ex-intelligence chief, and he was the one who was one of the guys who was sent last year to, Four Seasons. What's the other place?
Ritz-Carlton?
The other hotel.
What's Ritz-Carlton?
The one that they turned into torture house, basically.
It was Ritz-Carlton, I think. Ritz-Carlton.
Which one?
I think it was the Ritz, wasn't it?
Ritz-Carlton. That's right. Ritz-Carlton in Riyadh. They basically, from what I hear, through another source who is with the intelligence community, semi-retired, he said that they had actually set up torture chambers.
They what?
These guys gave up, and then there were ambulances there. Actually,
yeah,
in the parking lot underneath, and they would take some of these guys from the downstairs, from the service entrance out to the hospitals. He is one of them who was there. Now, in what condition he is and all that, I understand now is the house arrest. That guy was a smart cookie, but it was a half brother situation. Wasn't son of the current king. So, but the current king, I'm not sure what he knows. I'm not sure how coherent he is. I'm not sure what faculties he has to make a valid statewide, countrywide decision. This is probably the first time we're voting to say, globally, that this is not, you guys deserve better than this in a very public way.
Well, allegedly, the thing I read is the Faisal side of the family, this kid is totally ostracized. And so what's interesting is one of the people going to investigate the thing in Turkey is one of the Faisal guys that's kind of been reincarnated. So somehow, somewhere, people think his wings have gotten clipped just a hair. We'll talk about that next week, though, Ferry. Take care of yourself, buddy. SP Futures up 19 and a quarter, Dow up 152, NASDAQ up 84. Come back with David Andelman, Stocks and Jocks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so.
I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom with Mr. David Adelman in a second. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 21. Dow futures up 167. NASDAQ futures up 88. Normally we would be seriously cheering a day like this. And I guess we still are, except it's less than a third of what we were down yesterday. Yikes. So anyway, we hope it keeps up and we're not, but a fade here, we'll find out from David. I think a fade here would look bad. Let's hope we don't get a fade here. Over in Europe, we've got, the DAX up 35 points, 0.3%. FTSE now down. To call that flat, CAC round up 61.2, so not a whole lot of follow through there. Nikkei down 822, 3.7%, 21,268. I'm gonna have to ask David how that's gotta be a low for a few years. Shanghai up 50 cents, call that flat. Hang Seng down 255, that's a whole 1%. So we got stuff all over the place. Oil up 43 cents, but only back up to 67.25. It was like 73.74 2 weeks ago. Brent up 61 cents, 76.78. Everybody thought that was going to 90. Well, it's made a U-turn from 90. Natural gas up 4 cents today, 3.21, which is back up near their highs of like 3.24. RBOB gas flat at 182. And we've got gold rallying some this morning up 3.70. Silver up 8 cents. Maddie, we got first traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have heavy traffic on the inbound Kennedy and Eden. Same with the Eisenhower. Those are our two slowest moving expressways. No accidents to report. Earlier crash on I-90 eastbound at Roselle Road is all clear, so that's good news. Traffic building on the Stevenson as well. Southside expressways have been relatively quiet this morning, so that's more good news. We do still have that closure on the south side, though, due to a fatal crash that happened overnight. Stony Island between 185th and Ridge Road. That's remaining closed right now for that investigation, so keep that in mind on the south side.
Down on the islands.
Down on the islands. Everything else looking okay out there. One other thing to note, as Lou mentioned a half hour ago or so, the Metro BNSF lines were closed for a long period this morning as some power lines fell across the tracks. They've been reopened, but extensive delays, so a nasty morning commute if that's your train line coming in from the burbs. But they are running now, just with extensive delays, so give yourself plenty of time as you're heading out this morning. Weather today will be overcast throughout the day yet again, and cooler than normal, a high of just 53, and that's going to be our temperature for the next week or so, low 50s, which is about 7 degrees below normal. But cloudy skies today, high of 53. Right now it is overcast and 44 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 87 today. Right now it's crystal clear and 64. In sports, Bulls earned their first win of the season. They beat the Hornets 112-110. Suns were blown out by the Lakers 131-113. Hawks and Coyotes were both off last night. World Series, Red Sox lead the Dodgers 2-0. They beat the Dodgers 4-2 last night. That series will head back to L.A. Chief.
They seem clearly to me to be the better team.
I would agree.
They got a lot of really good players, and they play some really sound fundamental baseball, which is really hard to have both of those things these days. Well, you don't want to be a pitcher pitching against them because those guys take that two strike right up the middle all the time.
They have a really deep lineup. They make a lot of contact. They have pretty good speed. They take their walk if you go outside the zone. But more importantly, like you said, they hit for power and they slug. But if they do get two strikes on them and there are guys on base, all of those guys up and down the lineup will shorten up and try to make contact. And that's rare.
It is very rare these days. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
What do you make of yesterday, bud? Ouch. If we didn't have that little rally on the close.
Flush. Yeah. Exhaustion. Is it a bottom? Who knows? I mean, I would have respected it more if we opened lower today and then closed higher, but let's put it this way. I think that given the give up, much more than other give ups, really getting pounded and virtually no sector safe except for maybe a couple of utilities and telecoms, I think the bottom is really close. And I don't want to call the bottom, but I think when you look at what you look at, news and fundamentals, I think the argument for taking an average stock more than 20% off the highs, lowering the PEs from 16.5 to 15, even if you factor in a slowdown in earnings next year, the case for more selling pressure, not saying it can't happen, but I think the bottom's close.
Uh-oh. That's not good, David. You're agreeing with me.
And all the technical indicators, oh my God. I mean, big names. I mentioned Home Depot. That's one of my current favorites, even though in full disclosure, I don't own hardly any for customers. You know, getting relative strength indexes and raw stochastics in the single digits, mid single digits. No, I think enough is enough.
I'll say
there won't be one more flush.
I'll say it another way from what, again, that doesn't mean, we're just talking to Fari that it makes sense what you're saying. I think it makes sense what I'm about to say, but markets always go further than we ever think they're going to go.
No question.
I think that if the Fed does another rate increase in December and then pauses next year, which I think they probably will, I think we've revalued enough right around here, maybe another couple percent. Maybe we give up this rally today. The difference, I think, David, is from now, the last 9 years, don't assume a V-shaped bottom. Assume a rounded bottom. This is just the new level.
Oh, no question. No question. I just did, and again, I'm not trying to play fundamentalist because I'm a technician, but, you know, if you take all of China's goods and slap on a 25% tariff, it's $125 billion. If you take that amount and divide it by the 2017 GDP of this country, and you presume that consumers will shoulder all of it, that none of it will be swallowed by, you know, manufacturers, retailers, the like, you're talking about a tenth of 1%. Then if you go to rates and we look at where we were when the market was at its highs, we were at 285. Intraday, we ticked up to 332. But as of last night, we were at 310. So we're a quarter percent above the levels that we were when the market was at highs. And you could factor in maybe a tenth. If you put in Europe and Canada and Mexico, whatever, maybe two-tenths in inflation. I don't get, you know, a 20% knockout in the average stock.
I think it was coming anyway because of the rate differences.
Could be. you know, and dollar. I'm not saying that there's no headwinds, worries over the election. There are other things, but the two main things, Fed and trade tariffs, it's just discounted.
All right, consider this, Professor.
I'm getting into the fundamental area. Yeah. You know I'm in quicksand.
Well, you wandered in there by yourself. You know, so,
Well, I was just trying to calculate if it made any sense.
Like I said, we've moved, and I've been saying this all week, man. You haven't heard me. We've moved, in my opinion, unfortunately, I think, not that these guys, Mnuchin, these people, aren't way more up on this stuff than I am. Some of them probably are. I don't know if anybody's listening to them. But the Trump, Ross, what's the other guy's name, Navarro group, I think they look at stuff like they're 70-year-old men, only because they are.
And
Going on 90. I think we're in a world now where all chess is three-dimensional. It's not, it's like in Star Trek, Khan. You know, Spock says he's very brilliant, but his thinking is two-dimensional. You know, he doesn't understand he's in space and it's three-dimensional. He's not on land.
No, I get what you're saying.
What I'm saying is,
offshoots or whatever, and I agree with that.
But you are absolutely correct. If you look at the actual tariff number, which is a tax on people, okay, that number, and you look at the GDP, and you look at the amount of money that you're spending per year, say, look at the average person makes $55,000 or $57,000. Maybe they're pushing 60. I hope they are. If you took it, it probably comes down to couple hundred bucks a person, all right, and you sit there and go, well, it's like peeing in the lake, for God's sake, right? But it's not that. The reason why you put tariffs on Chinese steel is so all your guys can now raise their prices. And who's to say that they're only going to raise their prices by the 20% of the tariff? Maybe they'll go 25.
Right. No, I get what you're saying.
So it's not about the tariff itself and what it causes other people to do. And you hear stories. I've heard them anecdotally. You sit next to my brother, the president of PTI Securities, Dan Howe. And what did Dan tell us the other day? They're one of his buddies who does automobile glass. Okay. Because of some of that comes from China, every supplier on the same day raised and if you have a busted up windshield, these guys will come fix it. Every single thing the guy buys now is 10% higher than it was 2 weeks ago. And I'm sure the tariff is probably, it's probably 20% on the 20% that we get from China, which should be 4%.
4% at most.
And now it's really 10.
And now it's 10.
Yeah.
No, I get it. And that's why I said, you know, you were talking three-dimensional, and I mentioned the word offshoots. And yeah, so it can be multiplied.
Well, and not only that, it's not like everybody's worried about this wage inflation. The people that are making, the families that are making 56 that 10 years ago were making 53 or whatever, they haven't had a raise in one ever. I was out with one of the contributors of Stocks and Jacks last night. We had an adult beverage. And she told me she hasn't really gotten a raise in like 5 years. You know, the company just, you know, everybody thinks they're making everybody enough and blah, blah, maybe 1 or 2%, but nothing of any consequence. So if you start talking about things
a lot of economists say that year on year that, you know, the total wage is 70 cents an hour wage increase.
Yeah. Well, and what I'm saying is,
so if people work, I mean, I don't take the 34 hours a week that the BLS tells us, but say it's 40 hours a week, you know, 40 hours a week times 70 cents in a year, you're not talking about a real lot of money.
No, you're talking
about 30-some dollars.
Yeah, you start talking about what the difference is. And on a year-over-year basis, I'm going to say that the stuff at Home Depot is easily up 8% from last year. I could go through by the way, do those guys do this on purpose, Maddie, with those receipts you get from like Home Depot? Even if you put them in like a plastic thing, in 2 years you can't read them. Is that done on purpose or is it just so cheap they don't care?
I think it's so cheap, but yeah, that is interesting and true.
You can't
I mean, anymore. It doesn't matter what you get. There's no such thing as a cardboard ticket.
No, what I'm saying is it's
cheap.
If I went back and if I had the eyesight, if I went back to when I first started all this construction about 4 years ago and went through and compared items, plasterboard, 2x4s, nails, I'm going to say that the differences are dramatic, absolutely dramatic, especially
You're right, and we've talked about that for 4 or 5 years,
yeah.
But the numbers that they show us do not reflect that.
No.
It doesn't mean in reality that they are. And, you know, again, back to our old, you know, our old story, you know, the 12 items or 14 items in the CPI certainly don't reflect, you know, educational costs and insurance and property tax and everything else.
Well, and you, what you just hit on, though, David, is when does this affect, and we've had this huge, we had a huge sell-off yesterday, 600 points, a big number.
Right.
Now, if I last another 15 years and we're still on the air, I'm gonna be saying, you know,
right now we have to hope for 15 days.
Yeah, I mean, well, what did Vince Scully say? He, like the rest of us, is day to day.
Right.
But I'm gonna say, if Matty Weber's still sitting there putting up with me, you know, I'm gonna say, boy, you know that 600 point drop in whatever the hell we are, 2018. Why the hell did that happen 2 weeks before, 2 weeks after? I mean, this, like you say, David, we get to a point where. Are the tariffs that big of a thing? Or maybe the tariffs are causing people to look and see the stuff you and I have been talking about for 4 years or 6 years. You know, maybe the inflation that's always been there that nobody pays any attention to, or you let people talk you out of it, now all of a sudden you see it and it's just a little more, maybe the fact that your insurance costs are covered by your company. And the fact that you don't know that they're paying more, or actually maybe don't care that they're paying more and more every year for your insurance costs. Now, it may be reflected in the fact that you haven't got an actual raise, but in truth, you actually have, because your insurance costs have gone way up, right? So if you look at the total cost of you being there, they have gone up. So, I mean, there's a million different iterations, all this stuff. And that's what we try and talk about on the show, is understand how these things all tie together. But all that stuff, now all of a sudden, maybe... All it takes is one guy to go out and, you know, get a rock through his windshield and say, holy bleep, this happened 5 years ago and the thing was $400. Now the guy wants $600, you know, or whatever the number is. I don't think it's that expensive. But I'm saying maybe it causes some people to focus. I couldn't tell you to this day, David, why in August of 1982, when I'd been looking for that rally to start for 18 months, all of a sudden one day it started on the sleepiest, hottest August day you ever found. Why that day? Why not a week before or a week after? I mean, what causes people to one day all of a sudden look up and say, wow? I mean, well, at least Belushi, there was a nun smacking him with the ruler and he saw the light, you know? But at least there was an obvious reason in the Blues Brothers. But, I mean, I don't, why yesterday was yesterday and not last week?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And I mean, you know, again, we've talked for years. I mean, I talked about, you know, health insurance. You know, mine, for whatever reason, was unbelievably stable. 6 months up $5. You know, 6 months up $15. I mean, really, really, absolutely, tenths of a percent, like nothing. Maybe they forgot me. All of a sudden, in 1 month, up 22%.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what happened? I don't see anything for 3-4 years, and then all of a sudden they're playing catch up. And I call them; they had, oh well, a lot more people in your zip code are getting sick.
Well, it happens to you with your taxes here in the city. Enough, and I'm doing okay. And all of a sudden you get a 30% raise. It's not like it's 3% a year,
right?
I mean, but this and the weird part, David, if you don't pick that up, okay. And this is what the odd part of the CPI stuff, because I went through this with our buddy Hal Snarr. And I said, Hal, just the way the numbers work, because he's obviously a PhD and he's got people putting out papers underneath him and so forth. The weird part is, David, is if all of a sudden, you know, say you live in whatever, you don't live in Chicago where they already do this kind of stuff. You're living in Oak Brook. And they come out and say, well, guess what? To park your car in your driveway, it's now $500 a year for the permit, or park your car in front of your house. And you say, what the bleep? And then they put it on there. Well, that's not picked up. But now all of a sudden, if it's in the basket after 1 year, and they leave it that way for 10 years, now it actually looks like the inflation is zero, because they didn't pick up the 0 to 500 part, but now the 500 part is now stable for 10 years, and it looks like there's none. Yet after 10 years, it's still 500 when it used to be none.
Right.
So, I mean, the numbers are actually very hard to deal with. And not only that, if you and I and Maddie did the numbers, we wouldn't want that job, because it's. I think it's pretty hard to do, to actually put all this stuff together, because these costs come out of nowhere at you, and you have people that are winging stuff at you. I mean, tolls.
Well, and then beyond that, beyond the absolute cost of the you know, the basket of you know, items. You know, then they shove in all the seasonal patterns and, oh, what's the census saying? How do we factor that into what average is,
yeah,
or median? And it's just preposterous.
Well, I think in the medical part, what they're missing is, and this is my suspicion, and, you know, Maddie, you can tell me I'm messed up here or not. My suspicion is they don't focus on the cost to you or your company. Okay, so, Obama came out 2 years ago and said this year the medical costs have actually stabilized and are only up 3 or 4%. I almost don't doubt, I'm going to say on one level, that the man was correct. Is that if you actually look at the cost of the quote MRI, I mean, say it was $5,000, some ridiculous number 2 years ago, which is exactly what I'm talking about. That maybe in the last 2 years, since people are looking at him and bitching about it, in the last 2 years it's gone from $5,000 to $5,200, which is not a whole hell of a lot, right? I mean, it's not,
right,
or $5,100. But nobody ever picked up, but to you, if all of a sudden your rate, like you're talking about, just went up, and all of a sudden that money is just grabbed by the, I'll be a knucklehead and say, the insurance company executive for his $90 bazillion bonus, you don't care where in the system it got sucked up. All you care about is my rate just went up. But if you're on the other end, you'll say, wait a minute, we're holding medical costs down. But there's a big spread between you writing the check and what the insurance company's paying. I mean, well, you don't care. I mean, I guess you'd rather have it go to the MRI guy than the insurance guy.
Right.
But you don't get that choice. So as I'm saying, this is all very mushy with all kinds of layers of stuff. I mean, it doesn't, I mean, and it's amazing how detailed this stuff is. Did you ever actually dig through the detail? I went one day, and I don't know if Carl told me where to go, literally or figuratively. Hey, Chief!
There's the door.
Yeah, there's the door.
Right?
There's the door to hell. Walk in there. I actually went somewhere on a CPI site. I think I was talking to you, David, and you were talking about, talking about how the products have gotten better and blah blah blah. Well, I actually dug in there, and God help me if I could find this again.
I remember you saying, yeah, like with the car
and no, it was an F-150,
right?
And they went from, this was probably 2 years ago. So say it was the 2014 F-150 to the 15. So I'll pick numbers. Say it was 40,000 in 14, and now it's 41,000 or 41,515. I mean, it's obviously a tricked out one, but they have a list. The transmission went from, I don't know if it had some kind of a overdrive, something that was better than the year before. Well, that was $100. And it had something else implanted in the dashboard. Maybe it was the big screen for the computer to map or something. Well, that was like $300. So they had a list of like seven or eight things that were legitimate quality advancements. The tire went up a size, so that's $10 or something. And there were like quality advancements. So they would say 40,000 this 1 year, 41,500 the next. But oh, by the way, out of the 1,500 hours up, 800 hours of it is actual improvements. So the real price of the truck is only up $700. And I mean, they're all listed. I mean, they're there. These guys are somebody's doing this work. But the weird part of it is, though, David, at the end of all that time, if they're just you and me and Maddie hauling plasterboard around, and we got some guys working for us, and we're trying to remodel houses. At the end of the day, you know what? Even though the pickup truck is allegedly with all this crap on it, I'm not saying, you know, backup cameras, all kinds of stuff. At the end of the day, it's twice as much as it was 15 years ago, and it does the same job. So if I could still buy the other one, I understand why this one's more, you know, okay, but the fact is, it cost me $40,000 for a pickup, or $35,000,
well,
you know.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I know what you're saying. You still get in a car, turn a key, or press a button, and it gets you somewhere.
Yeah.
That's true. But when you say it does the same job, yes, as far as task of transportation, yes. But there are a lot of people, maybe not your age or my age, but, you know, Maddie's age, that value, you know, talk into the speaker and, you know, connect wirelessly or use, you know, Apple Maps.
Oh, I get it. I mean,
this or that or the other. And or even myself, the surround camera where I can see that curb, you know, or that median instead of going over it. Those are things that, so it's not really doing the same job. You have very expensive chips and computers in there that do different jobs than were ever available before.
I know, but my point is, these were all extras that I chose to buy, I got no problem with it. But
right.
They're not.
Right.
So the fact is, if I want to get a business together and I want to go out and buy two pickups, basic pickups for just hauling stuff around and my people and my stuff, the fact is, it's 30 versus 20.
Right. No.
You know,
that can't be disputed.
And, why somebody doesn't come out with the basic one, I don't know. Maybe the Fed doesn't allow them or whatever the hell the deal is. But SP Futures, I got Spoo's up 21, Dow Futures up 174.
They backed off only 15.
Up 15. Okay, so David, I'm going to say real quick, you have 10 seconds. If this doesn't hold today, how bad does it look?
No, I think would actually help. If it could give up a good part or even all of these gains and be down most of the morning, come back late, it'd be great. If it gives up and closes in the trash again, then who knows?
Not so good. All right, buddy. Talk to you next week. Thank you, Matty. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.